You are listening to the Aprea Leadership Podcast Series with Mark Cooper, recorded during the Aprea Asia Pacific Property Leader Summit in Shanghai, in conversation with Roberto Versace, Managing Director, Head of Listed Real Estate Asia Pacific, APG Asset Management.
This is the Aprea Leadership Podcast Sessions with Mark Cooper for Aprea. And I'm here with Roberto Versace, Managing Director and Head of Listed Real Estate for Asia Pacific at APG. Welcome, Roberto.
Thank you, Mark. Nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about APG and its listed real estate investments, how long it's been investing in Asia Pacific, and of course, you know, how significant that portfolio is.
Sure. So APG is an asset manager backed by a pension fund out of Amsterdam. The pension fund is ABP. We have been running real estate globally for some 20 odd years. Within Asia, we've had our presence in Hong Kong for 10 years. We were investing before that, still out of Amsterdam. And obviously that scale has increased since we moved into Hong Kong. Within listed real estate in Asia Pacific, which includes Australia, the same remit, we run two funds, a tactical fund against a benchmark we look to outperform, and an absolute return fund with higher concentrated holdings and obviously larger positions as well.
Okay. And obviously APG is a big direct investor in real estate, both in this region and worldwide. Tell us a bit about the relationship between the listed and unlisted side, because I know this varies quite a lot between different investors.
Absolutely. We take a generally integrated model. We see real estate as one asset class between listed and private. Our strategic fund actually has both of those elements. So it is private real estate investments and listed real estate investments. Our teams sit together. They work through potential investments together and they scrutinize them together. So it generally is an integrated model. We look to exploit pricing on either side of private or indeed listed. And generally those opportunities will come up in the listed space, given that there'll be mispricing relative to the asset value, given the nature of capital markets.
Okay. And that brings us on to where the opportunities are. So looking around the region, are there particular markets that you favor, either because there's mispricing or just because you believe in the fundamentals?
That's a good question. This year, and I think even last year, have been challenging years for equity markets, even though we've had some form of rebound in the first half of this year. In a period where we've had 10 years of quantitative easing, we've had a quantum of debt which has been very high, liquidity very loose, very easy to obtain finance, and the rate of, cash rates at very low levels, has meant that money has flowed into real assets, valuations have gone up. But what we've seen at the end of the 10 years of quantitative easing is that global economic growth is now tapering off. Central banks are trying to counter this. But what it's meant that growth stocks are not producing what they were before.
Yeah.
And defensive yield is very important. This has led us to give more bias to the REIT regimes in the region, notably Japan, the J-REITs, Singapore REITs, and Australia. So they remain three key figures for us, three key pillars in our portfolio overall. We believe the growth, if we look at developer stocks and beta, is probably more pronounced in China. We do like the China developers. We are facing headwinds of the China economy slowing, which is then offset by the amount of stimulus that comes through.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So we are balancing both those types. It is a moving target very quickly, but our convictions remain in defensive yield, slowing economic growth globally, and how that penetrates the individual markets. Where we have seen some respite this year is in the emerging markets. Which finally, after many years of coming off Indonesia in particular, operationally they looked in better shape and now bouncing on very low valuations. Despite the fact that the US dollar has now crept up in the last few months, at the beginning of the year, the US dollar was quite constant. So we thought we were at the end of maybe that ascendancy.
And those are emerging market stocks, are they're mainly developers rather than REITs?
And they're all developers, that's right. Yeah. So that's where we get our pure beta exposure, we could say. And it's balanced off by Japan, Australia, Singapore.
Okay. And on the more negative side, where are you looking to be underweight at the moment?
Sure. So We've been underweight the Japan developers, excuse me, for some time now. There is somewhat of a value trap there. They are certainly undervalued relative to developers in the other parts of the region. But we think that's a structured discount that probably won't materialize until we see a better form of governance and better use of capital. We believe there's been stuck in that sort of business model for the last 5 to 6 years. Mm-hmm. And what is happening is the assets go up in value, the discount just widens. The price is not keeping up.
Oh, I see.
Their earnings also look stable, but nothing too exciting. So we are underweight the Japan developers. We have recently gone underweight China, and we're just a little bit concerned about the macro side and the trade wars. I think as anybody in the globe would be at the moment.
Yes, you have to be cautious.
Absolutely.
With regard to corporate governance, are you an activist or an active investor in that sense?
So APG has its core in ESG. Governance is something we take very seriously. Are we an activist? Well, we like to think of ourselves as a collaborator with the firms we invest in, particularly when our stake is very high and we can have a direct dialogue with the C-suite. We see this as our fiduciary duty to our pensioners in order to get management working hard for our shareholders in the best possible way. Alongside of that also comes the social part of it and the environmental side being very important to us as well. The governance is something that we can tackle every day with our companies, and we constantly remind them of what their expectations are when we become shareholders. And we check up with them regularly if we're seeing changes as we've detailed to them that we want to see.
And do you see, something that's been discussed at the conference today, but do you see positive movement on ESG and listed Asian real estate?
Absolutely. So I've been in the market for over a decade, close to 15 years, you could say. 15 years ago, it was hardly discussed. Now it's no longer we would like to, it's become a prerequisite. Not only are investors demanding more, but the new generation of investors will demand even further. And many mandates now will void certain companies if they're not towing the line.
Yeah.
So this has become pronounced. We've seen some reverse feedback, I call it, from companies coming to us saying, how can we be better at ESG?
So becoming proactive.
Exactly. So it's finally got to a point where this is no longer just an issue on the side, on the wish list. It's become a critical part to the investment thesis for both asset manager, fund manager, and the company themselves.
Excellent. Now, a big development this year that was also been alluded to in the summit today is India's first REIT.
Yep.
How important is this kind of milestone for an investor such as APG? And how rapidly do you expect the REIT market in India to develop?
That's a good question. Look, it's something we've been waiting for some time, mm-hmm. and it has been delayed. Look, the anticipation would be high given it is such a large population with obviously a lot of physical assets that can be securitized and put into funds. And it gives us a further diversification tool across the region. Most of that, say, risk budget for that emerging market to this point has been satisfied by China and Southeast Asia. So this gives us another opportunity to tap into a strongly growing economy with a 1.5 billion plus population,
yeah.
That we can continue to see assets taken off balance sheets of corporates and used in a more efficient manner, and something that can be targeted for investors to go into.
And of course, the big missing piece in terms of Asia-Pac REITs is China. What's the state of play there, and how hopeful are you of something emerging that resembles the REITs we see in other jurisdictions?
Correct. So again, we've been patient for a long time, and there have been promises made, and it has been delayed. It would be a great adjunct to the current opportunity set of developers that we see in China. Mm-hmm. So it would give a lot more de-risk, yield-orientated vehicle that can act as a great diversifier for what we currently have. And look, again, given the sheer size of the population, sheer size of the country, the opportunities that would come out of there for assets to be securitized would be almost infinite.
Yeah.
And that would develop year after year. And we think that also give a level of sophistication to the real estate market in China, building upon what is currently achieved in a short amount of time. As an investor, again, that opportunity set, the more you have, is something we love, and is something that we can always find mispricing within.
Yeah. Some people have put forward the low yields in China as a barrier to REITs emerging there, although I guess there are REITs in other low-yielding economies.
Correct.
Yeah. So do you think that's a kind of a false barrier, or is it's not the real problem?
I can understand how that's a form of resistance for investors. I can understand that. I don't think it should be all of it. Something that needs to be balanced against the quality of assets.
Yep.
The cash flow that's coming through, the distribution policy, the tax treatment. And obviously we want reliability of earnings going forward that are growing at a fair and incremental rate. So I think it's one aspect. I don't think it should be all. I think if you're making a thesis on China, an investment thesis that you're looking over a 5 to 10 year period, and you already have some form of assets that you have in your portfolio, I think there is a genuine space there to interact REITs with. And that perhaps they don't tick all the boxes, but they tick most of them.
Yeah. And still, so great potential to come then.
Indeed.
In both markets. Fantastic. That's great, Roberto. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for tuning in to the Apria Leadership Podcast Series. Hope you've enjoyed listening to this podcast. We'll be back soon with more. If you like what you heard and would like to give us feedback on future podcast episodes, please contact Sigrid Jalsita. That's SIGRID.ZIALCITA@apria.asia.